Some days are terrible, you wish that you were dead. And some days are magical, like great banana bread. Someday we'll be friends with the voices in our heads. The voices in our heads.
Hello, everybody. Congratulations on not killing yourself. Welcome to the Voices in Our Heads. I'm your voice in your head, Christina Marie Hutchinson. Are you in New York City on Thursday, July 25th? You are. Well, that's fucking great because that's the next hooch. We were going to make it a weekly show, then realized couldn't sell tickets weekly, but we can sell tickets monthly. So July 25th, link in my bio. Follow me on Instagram. It's at Christina Hutch. You know the deal. Also, I wanted to ask anybody because it never hurts to ask, and I'm going to ask all the time. Does anybody listening have a near-death experience under their belt or an experience with aliens or psychic powers? Please DM me. I do check my other inbox and I want those stories. I want them because I'm just researching. For what? Life. Because I want to do life better. I want all the secret codes. You know when you play Mario Brothers 3 and then your friend down the street showed you, oh, you got to go lean down under this cloud and then you go backwards in the level and then you're like, well, I'm never not going to do that every time I get to that level. That's why I want to figure out this like psychic power shit. Okay. I just want life to be like the movie Matilda. And I'm convinced that that is possible because movies are real. I talked last week about rude airplane stuff. Like apparently it's rude to have the shade up on your flight if everybody else's shade is down, which I don't believe because I'm always having that shade up in that window seat, because yes, looking for aliens. And I just love looking at the clouds. You know what is rude though? I don't think that's rude. Farting on the subway. I don't love you like that. I don't want to smell the air that comes out of your asshole. And I get like, I'm sorry. Every woman knows how to hold in a fart. Men, learn. You should try it sometime. It doesn't feel great, but guess what? Makes the people all around you happy. Or at least whatever mood they were currently in, they stay that mood. When you fart around everybody in a subway cart, we hate you because we don't love you like that. Okay. I'm sure a lot of people love you like that, but I don't want to smell your farts, you know, even in a romantic relationship. I love you like that, but I still don't want to smell them. Okay. So don't fart in the subway, guys. Be a fucking person. Don't be an animal. I watched Pierce Morgan. What do you think of Pierce Morgan? He's a twat, kind of, but I have some positive things to say.
I don't know that I like Piers Morgan.
He has some views that I'm like, the fuck you just say?
Yeah.
But my God, this man is killing it with interviews. He got Fiona Harvey, who was the actual real life stalker from the Baby Reindeer show on Netflix. He interviewed her. That was crazy. That interview was crazy. And then he fucking interviewed Kevin Spacey. And I was like, damn, that was the first time Kevin Spacey's talked since 2017.
Well, he's doing the rounds now, though.
He is.
He's trying to get on the Lost Man podcasts. He's doing like Lex Friedman.
So he'll do Guys We Fuck probably, huh? You think?
Yeah, honestly, if you want.
It's the only time I can get Kevin Spacey because he's just determined to clear his reputation. However, I knew Kevin Spacey was gay for a long ass time because I know I'm a young actress growing up in New York City when I was 19 years old. He was going to these restaurants my friends were working with at, and the two of them did say, oh, this was weird. I saw Kevin Spacey and I was like, what? I'll get to that in a second. They saw Kevin Spacey, but he was dining with a teenage boy and serving him wine.
What?
And I was like, that's
really
not good. Yeah, this was, I kid shit you not, 12 years ago. I've known this for 12 years. I also knew that P. Diddy was keeping Cassie hostage.
Well, yeah.
Because
there's a
DJ at Sirius XM. We're on their show. And then off mic, he just told me all the rappers that were gay and all the rappers that were doing whack shit. And P. Diddy was one of them. And he's like, he's holding Cassie hostage. I was like, that's terrible. What do I do with that information? I can do nothing with that information.
This is like a decade ago, right?
A decade ago. Yeah. So I've been sitting on that. I knew about Louis C.K. jerking off in the plant in front of those two chicks for 10 years. Like, who says I can't keep a secret, huh? I can't for a predator. So I knew that about Kevin Spacey a long time. So when he got outed right around the time that Harvey Weinstein got Me Too'd, I was like, ugh, he's finally seen his day. But then I watched the Pierce Morgan interview and I was like, at first I'm like, you're putting on your actor face and you're trying to get sympathy. But he really does seem a little bit more grounded. However, it's probably all bullshit. It's got to be all bullshit. I did believe it.
But well, like, what is? I haven't seen the interview, obviously. What is he saying?
He came out as gay in the same tweet that he addressed the sexual assault,
of course,
allegations.
Right.
So that apparently, I forgot about that tweet. I didn't really follow when it came out. I was like, oh yeah, I knew about that.
Sort of a smoke show. Smokescreen, right, sympathy thing.
That's what everybody was pissed at him for. And then he says, like, I should have had those in two separate tweets, but he wasn't out in Hollywood. And to be fair, and he said this in the Piers Morgan interview, there was a lot of older male actors that were very famous. Ian McKellen, one of them, didn't come out until the 40s because they were terrified. Because if you have this leading man status in Hollywood, your casting is going to be completely upside down if people find out you're gay, because society's a bunch of dipshits, okay? There's some really great people in society, but the dipshits are louder, so it's tough. But I watched that whole interview. It was really interesting. But there's something that's really unfortunate about all this, and it's not all that unfortunate in the long run. Like, in the scheme of things, it doesn't really matter. But I will say, I'm not proud to admit this. We all have things we're not proud of. I'm still attracted to Kevin Spacey. That scene in American Beauty that I saw when I was about 11 or 12, where he was fingering his daughter's friend, his daughter, Jane, her friend in the bathtub with the roses. And he reached in and he obviously was, you know, that was my clits Super Bowl. Okay. That was my sex World Cup. That scene was the first thing I've ever seen that turned me on. It paved the way for my sexual career. Okay. When I die, that scene will come with me. All right. That movie is so burned in my brain, and that particular plot line where he wanted to bang his daughter's friend, and that's like all the porn I watch. So he's really affected my sex life.
But do you think so? Is it just the fantasy of like an older man
but
doing that?
Him, or
is,
man, what? He
is
was
he's like a
sex-
is he a handsome guy?
His voice is one of the sexiest voices I have ever heard, ever.
Kevin, really?
Oh my,
interesting.
God. His voice was so sexy. And he was very handsome in that movie. I think he was in his 30s, maybe. He was a babe. He was balding. Don't give a fuck about that. I don't care. I don't care if you're short, tall, bald. Doesn't matter. You got a sexy voice. And I see you consensually fingering your daughter's friend in a bathtub for a movie scene.
Still a teenager.
Yeah. But I liked it. The vagina likes what it likes. You guys know that. Boy, with your dick. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I was just thinking like, wow, that's wild that I still fantasize about that scene. And then watching him talk, I'm like, yeah, use that voice, Kevin. Like, who am I? An awful person. Apparently, there's a 2-part documentary, though, about the sexual assault allegations against Kevin Spacey. And it's not in his favor. And every single male victim had the same story. They all said he got dead in the eyes right before he did it. And I'm sorry. Believe people. If you have 5 motherfuckers saying the exact same thing, how about we as a society go, I think we should believe them, you know?
Yeah, I think that they're, I'm looking at right now, like the news headlines. I just typed in Kevin Spacey into Google, and all of the news stuff is just like, Kevin Spacey, my house is being sold at auction. I think he's doing a lot of this stuff because he's like...
sympathy.
Yeah, I think that he's fucking going broke because he hasn't been able to work.
Wait, whoa. Kevin Spacey won 2 Oscars. How is that motherfucker broke? You cannot work since 2017.
I don't know.
And have all that American Beauty money. Perhaps Kevin pulled a Christina and bought his parents a house and bought his friends clothes and just spent stuff and out of even thinking that his money's ever going to run out.
Well, I can't speculate on what's been going on with him in the courtroom, but I mean, if he's been in and out of court.
He was proved innocent.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about legal fees. I mean, if he's paying for lawyers, if there are 5 different accusers, and those are 5 different cases.
Right.
I mean,
that's probably
a lot of money. You know? I don't know. I take all of this with a bit of a grain of salt. Also, of course, I just don't believe actors ever.
Yeah.
Anytime an actor's trying to get sympathy from you, I'm just kind of like, I don't really think I believe this.
Yeah. Tiny violins playing in the background. And his interview felt like a monologue. And there was so many moments where he was like, well, Pierce,
right,
I need you to know. I'm like, oh, fucking shut up.
Right.
But man, that scene in American Beauty, was my pussy's World Cup. Oh my God. I'll never not think about that scene. Do you have a scene in a movie, Michael, that will live rent-free in your brain forever because of the sexual energy surrounding it that it simulated in you?
Yeah.
Simulated in
the
you?
The irony is none of them are from movies that I liked or watched or thought were good. But there is a while in the early kind of like internet porn days when I was finding internet porn where I was very into finding like movie scenes with actresses I thought that were hot.
Oh, so like right. Because they do have those compilations.
Oh, there were like sites that were just Heather Graham. That. Yeah.
Dude, I saw Heather Graham in person at SNL actually when I was interning there. She's one of the hottest chicks.
She's so hot.
She's so hot. I looked at her. I'm like, how are you? Are you real? Like, I wanted to touch her and poke her.
It's crazy. Yeah. So there was I don't even know what the movie is, but there was this scene that I remember finding when I was like 15, I guess.
Oh, no.
And it was her. And I think, Maybe Ralph Fiennes or Ralph Fiennes.
Ralph Fiennes.
Whatever. Wait, I thought there were two different people.
Wait,
I thought there was Ralph.
You said Ralph Fiennes instead of Ralph Fiennes. That's hilarious.
I thought there was a Ralph Fiennes and a Ralph Fiennes. They're two different guys. One had hair and one doesn't.
Michael, we're all dipshits. Dude, when a friend mispronounces a word, it's the funniest fucking thing ever. I will never write a joke that funny.
Yeah, but there's like a scene where she's really getting it good from him, and I remember being he's like kind of choking her out with like scarves and stuff.
Okay, it's pretty wild.
Okay,
Rafe.
Yeah, and what at 15, I was just like, this is the chick from Austin Powers. oh my God.
Groovy, baby.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
So I don't know the name of the movie, but yeah. But then you start seeing these, they don't really do sex scenes like that anymore. But
don't you wish they would, though?
Yeah. Nobody's getting fucked in movies anymore.
No, they're getting fucked in porn, and it's like the holes are gaping, and it's like, can we keep a little bit of romance in it? I don't want a gaping hole.
Right. Because that's not the hot thing about the scene. Hot thing about the scene is like the seduction
and the teasing and the little bit, you see a little bit at a time. Wow. That's good for you. I hope you found a room that was only for you in your house. Bathroom.
I got caught masturbating a couple times in my room.
By Nicole?
My dad.
Oh, at least same sex pair.
He walked into the room and goes, oh, Michael. Oh, no.
Oh, that sucks. I can't believe I've never gotten caught. That's crazy.
It ain't fun.
It doesn't seem fun. Thank God I don't need any more scars. Okay, what else do I want to talk about? There's so much I want to talk about, but I'm going to keep this episode 45 minutes. That's what I'm saying. Let's see if I can stick to it. I went to Governor's Ball on Sunday. It was so fun. I love music festivals. They're really fun. I can't take like a ton of them in a row because they're intense, but I loved it. SZA, my God. God bless you, SZA. What a gorgeous, perfect angel she is. Incredible performer. Crazy dancer. I mean, I know it's not like the main thing about her, but man, ass is steel. Jesus Christ. And her voice, the notes in her melodies are really fucking complicated. And she crushed it. She's so sexy. Oh, and her dancers were so sexy. And she had this really hot chick guitarist. And I was like, yes. But yeah, we were at Gov Ball. And I love festivals because people dress however they want to dress. And a lot of people want to dress like absolute whores. And I am all fucking for that. And it was really sweet. There was these moments where I saw these teenage girls that were like young, like 14, 15. And they were like dressing like a hoe for the first time. And they were so like, don't look at my body, but look at it kind of thing. And it really took me back to middle school. I totally, a young woman discovering her own sexuality and her own like sexual power. It's very sweet. And I loved the girls were very sweet. We were with a group of people that I love very much. One of them, my friend Chris at Heal with Chris on Instagram, CRYS. She's the one who saved my face, my skin, and she waxes my holes. She's the person that's been the most intimate with my holes ever. She got a light. She's got like a medical light that she's looking at to wax your butthole. And I'm real comfortable. It took a second, but she's fun to be around. So that helped. But anyway, I was with her hubby, and a couple women. And there was while SZA was about to come on, the security guard walked past us and he said something to one of the women in our group. And without even thinking, I go, the fuck you just say? And like, I said it in a, hey, what the fuck did you just say? Kind of like he stopped and he goes, oh, I was just complimenting your dress. And I was like, oh, okay. you may go. But everybody in the group turned and the woman was like, hey, thanks. And I was like, all right. You know, you don't know how you're going to react to certain situations until the situation happens. I didn't even think. And I was like, don't, no one talks to women like that in front of me, sir. And then I got all egotistical about it, which is not what you're supposed to do. But I was like, oh, that's nice. That's a nice little knee-jerk reaction I had. My knee-jerk reactions aren't that great. So it was good to have a nice one. That was really good for my self-esteem. Could you turn my headphone volumes up?
Yes.
Thank you. So last week I was talking on the show about the great elevator debacle in my building.
Oh, well, yeah. We need an update.
Can I tell you the worst elevator experience that I've had so far happened the night after I recorded the last episode?
Oh,
so
geez.
Thursday night. I have a routine at night where I take my dog, Kevin, to play soccer on a soccer field. And I take a blunt with me and I do not take my phone. I don't take my phone when I run. I don't take my phone when I take Kevin to play soccer and smoke a blunt late at night. And so I took him. We had a great time. He was getting those balls. He was driving the ball up and down the field. He's a great soccer player. And I'm smoking my blunt, having a great time. We get back to the building. I go to get in the elevator. We get in. We go up. All of a sudden, the elevator drops. I've been in these elevators when they dropped.
Dude.
This fucking dropped many floors, okay? Like, I was leaning down to pet Kevin, so I didn't have that neck jerk because I guess I was already down. But my poor dog. And then all the elevator buttons started blinking, and I heard, I'm like, I don't like that. And I go, well, I don't have my phone. Let me press the call button. The call button didn't work. And I started screaming in the elevator. This was like 11:30 at night.
Oh, I'm getting
pounding.
Agita, just listening to this.
Yeah. Pounding on the walls of the elevator, screaming, please somebody come and help me. You don't know, I said earlier, you don't know how you're going to react to a situation until you're in that situation. When I was screaming, please someone come help me. And then I was thinking, I don't know if anybody's going to come help me, because there was a woman at the front desk that ended up being very lovely. I'll tell you that in a second. But sometimes we have these front desk people. The concierge at our building are great. Every once in a while, there'll be a front desk person that just looks at their phone. They don't even look up to say hi. That's fine. I don't give a fuck. That's fine. You could be, I don't even care if you're rude, to be honest. Like, that sounds like a boring job. I get it. But as I was walking into the elevator, I was like, have a good night. And she didn't even acknowledge me because she was looking at a show on her phone. So I was like, well, whatever. And then when I get in the elevator and I went to press the call button and no one was answering and I find myself pounding and someone please come and help me, I'm thinking that lady is not going to see me in the elevator. And then my very traumatic past in which I felt like I was falling into a pit of fire and no one was coming to save me, and my scary but mostly inconvenient present, they just started violently fucking each other. And I had the panic attack of a lifetime, guys.
How could you not?
When I tell you, I wasn't afraid I was going to die at all. It was like it was a suffocating feeling. It wasn't a dying feeling, if that makes sense. Obviously, if you're suffocating, you will die. But it was a helpless feeling is the best I can describe it. I had such a crazy panic attack in those elevators. Eventually, I heard a neighbor say, hey, someone's coming. I called the fire department. And I was like, okay. Thank God. And I just had I sat on the floor with Kevin. Kevin's trained in pressure point therapy. So he knows to like put his paws on my wrist or my clavicles when I'm having a panic attack. So he did that. I was it really does help. And I was waiting for the firefighters. I heard the sirens. I was in the elevator for like 20 minutes. Thank God I was by myself. I don't want to fucking act that way in front of people. And then they go, the firefighters, there's cameras in the elevators. The firefighters. And a part of me was like, at least you get rescued by firefighters, Christina. I hope they're hot. Please be hot. God, make them hot. They went into the two other elevators to try to get me. And they're like, oh, she's not in there. Oh, she's not in there. They couldn't tell which elevator I was in. I'm like, don't you look at the cameras and you can tell? Isn't that how that's supposed to go? Okay. And they finally, Mike, you're going to die. They pried open the elevator I was in. It was in between floors.
Yeah, man.
They go, okay, come out. And I go, no, sir. I'm not Final Destination dying.
Oh,
absolutely
no.
The fuck not.
Where the elevator car like drops and cuts you in half.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the one.
Yep.
That's the fucking one. And my poor dog, oh, Kevin, He was so scared. I had to, this was honestly the worst part.
I'm thinking about this and I'm literally like, it's awful. Getting worked up.
It's awful. I am still having the panic attack when the firefighters come and they go, you have to climb out. When I say the top of the elevator that had to climb out was maybe this high, like it was not a big space for me to crawl out of. Okay. And I go, is there any way that you can pull that elevator up so that it's a little bit more on the floor and I could just jump out? And they go, I'm sorry, we can't. I'm like, okay, one of y'all got to come in and push me up. I'm not getting dragged out of this and getting chopped in half. I'm sorry. And so a firefighter came down. Thank you, Jesus. He was very cute. And then he touched my butt and I was like, do it again. But I didn't because I was having a panic attack. So I didn't really have time to be turned on. Somehow made it work. But I gave my dog to the firefighters and my dog, miniature Dasha or Dachshunds, they weren't mini. We made them mini. They were bred to hunt like muskrats and stuff out of holes. That's why they're so long, so they can crawl into these rodent holes. He would not hurt a fly, my dog. He would not, like, he's scared of a bug. He's scared of a rat. I've never seen him growl, like actually angrily growl. The firefighters had gloves on, but he bit the firefighter and started crying and then was like squirting fumes out of his butt, which he does when he's terrified. And that killed me. Oh my God. Seeing my dog that distressed. Whew, okay. I can't talk about it. But then I had to get out of the elevators and I did. And they were like, do you want us to call an ambulance for you? Like to get you oxygen? And I was like, no, I don't have health insurance. This is America. Huh? I didn't want the firefighters to call an EMT because I couldn't pay the bill for the oxygen. But I also knew I was going to be fine. But yeah, I walked downstairs and I walked to the front desk and I was when I tell you the panic attack of my life, it was crazy. And the front desk woman who was watching the show, she was so like, oh my God, are you okay? And they walked me back to the office where you can't see me. Cause I guess you don't want, you know, a fucking freaking out woman going, the elevators are death traps as you walk upstairs, walking to your apartment. And I had tried to write an email to Colin from the guy's email address and I couldn't even type. And it was like baby reindeer on meth. It was like no word was typed correctly. And I didn't have my phone on me. I did not want to go back upstairs to the elevators, but I didn't have the strength to climb up 26 flights of stairs. I've done it before. I'm a pretty fit gal. But I didn't want to do it then. And so I was going to wait until Colin came back, but they turned the elevators back on. But that lovely woman that was watching a show on her phone, I was freaking out so bad. She hugged my entire head and she looked me in the eye. This is how like worrisome I must've come off as. She was like, God is with you. God loves you. God will never make sure you're never hurt. And I was like, oh, thanks lady. I think she was like a not Mormon, but like kind of, I don't know. She dressed like she had like some like a conservative religious background and she was so sweet. I could tell she was religious because what she was saying to me, but I was like, I looked her in the eye and I was like, thank you so much. And I go, I love you. And she's like, I love you and God loves you. And I was like, he does love us, right? Oh, Jesus Christ. That was terrifying.
Yeah, what a nightmare.
And then I've since kept a little entry sheet on my phone. Every time something is fucked up on the elevator, I say the date, I say the time. Let me tell you something. July 4th last year, the elevators went out and my party guests they left because they didn't want to climb up the stairs and that was a bummer. So Thursday, June 6th is when that happened. And then Friday, June 7th, the next day, 9 p.m., as I was coming down the elevator, the firefighters were prying open that same exact elevator to get other people out. Dude. And then later that night, only one elevator out of four in a 30-story building was working. Huh? Huh? Fuck you guys. Fuck you guys. Saturday, June 8th, all the elevators stopped working at 6:10 p.m. I had to take the steps downstairs. Sunday, June 9th, 10:03 p.m., only one elevator was in service out of four. And the line for the elevator was around the corner. And I've looked up online, these elevators have been deemed death traps in this building that I live in for 12 years. And I emailed that management company. And I was like, I need you to know that I was stuck in elevator this one. And I had a very severe panic attack and the firefighters had to get me out. And all I said was, I am taking this matter very seriously. And then they wrote me back a very lawyer response.
Yeah. We're not going to help you.
Well, no, they were like, I'm so sorry that happened. But we're happy to assure you. Oh, are you happy to assure me that we have been working on the elevators for this very reason? Cool. Don't have people live in your death trap building while that's happening.
What floor are you on?
26.
Oh, my good God. So what are you doing about this? Are you getting out of this building? What are you doing?
I want to get free rent.
Good luck. I
can't dox them because then everybody's going to know where I live. And door people don't really are diligent about who comes in and out of the building. So I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, don't dox. But I think the free rent thing is that only happens like you have to withhold the rent. But I think it only really works when you have like a situation with kind of like a more independent landlord. You know what I mean? Because you're going to end up having to go to court with them.
And see you there.
You could work with a landlord.
Right.
You can just be like, listen, I'm going to withhold the rent until, because they have to pay. Yeah. Like my landlord is just one person who has to pay the mortgage on the brownstone.
Right.
So if I say this thing's not done, I'm not paying you rent.
Right.
You kind of work it out with them.
Yeah.
But you're just going to develop like they're going to send fucking collections
credits,
and yeah that's
oh,
the thing.
Oh, oh.
Because you're dealing with like a corporate.
My shit credit score is going to go down more. Ooh, I'm shaking in my boots.
But yeah, dude, I don't know. I would get out of there. When's your lease up?
A year from now. I signed a 15-month renewal. But I'm almost certain that I can get out of it because of that.
You probably can, yeah.
I'm not scared of elevators. I'm still not scared of them. I know you can die. That's very, very rare. The moment that really fucked with me was when I didn't think anybody was coming to save me. And just all of the awful memories in my entire life just flashed before my eyes. And I was like, well, this is a shit show. Hey, speaking of shit shows, guys. So if you got any advice, I am talking to a lawyer. But I'm not. I can't imagine something's going to happen. It would be cool. All I want is free rent. Even for 1 month. God, that would be so helpful. That would be so helpful. Do you understand, people in my building that are listening? Please listen. I operate in extremes. It's very exhausting. Money update. Because I do want to... I'm learning a lot about my money. What are you laughing
at? No, it's fun. These are the great Christina's greatest hits.
Oh, yeah. I got...
elevators, money.
I came in hot today. I was like, I got some shit to say about my life.
You mentioned the psychic stuff up top. We just need aliens.
Oh, yeah. I meant to say alien experience, too, or psychic experience. But that, you guys know that. That's why I just want aliens to abduct me. You know, I mean, this fucking shit show of a planet. Just take me. Do experiments on me. I don't care. Take Kevin, too, though. You have to. I went from, as you have known, if you listen to the show, I went from spending money just so recklessly and not looking at what I was spending to being so conservative about my money that I'm like, if I can get rid of my car, I can get rid of my apartment and live at Collins and I can put my stuff in a storage unit and then I'm going to be a fucking millionaire in 2 years, which would be true. So I was like, okay, I give myself a task every day. It's either look at everything you've spent today or pluck out 3 monthly expenses that you don't need. And I've been doing that. One of the monthly expenses I tried to get down was my car insurance. Yo, New York City. Guess how much I pay in car insurance, Michael?
$350. More?
Mm-hmm.
$450. More?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
$550.
$657.
No shit.
$657. And a friend had told me, hey, you park in a garage in your building, your car insurance company should know that because then they could take money off. And I was like, ooh, and there's all these little tricks and tips I got. So I was like, okay, I'm going to call them. And well, first I was like, I want to shop around. So I went to Geico. I went to Progressive. I have Liberty Mutual. And I was like, this is a big bill. And Colin was like, you pay that much? I'm like, that's how much car insurance is. And so I went to Geico and I put in all my info and it quoted me at $288. And I go, now we're talking. Oh, I put in my address, put in my checking information, put in all this stuff. I made a login and they said your quote is $288. And before I pressed like finish, I called Liberty Mutual. And I had it in my head that it was like a Spectrum or Verizon cancellation kind of thing, where if you have Spectrum and you say I'm canceling, they give you a 20-minute spiel and you can talk over them they still give you the spiel. And it's so fucking irritating. So I had that, for some reason, I had that in my head because money stuff just, it still makes me like, ah, like I want to, you know, I want to bite you. I'm like a rabid dog with it because I'm getting more comfortable with it. I'm still not comfortable. And so I called the lovely woman. I said, I'm canceling my car insurance. And she was like, do you have other car insurance so it won't lapse? And I was like, yeah. I just filled out the form. I just didn't press the final button. She's like, okay, can I ask why you're canceling? And I was like, I prefer not to say. Because I didn't want her to go into the spiel. And she goes, well, we have to type something. I'm like, I don't want it anymore. That's what I said. I was like, I just want to get you off the phone. And then so she said, okay, we're canceling it. It's done as of midnight. I hang up and I was like, look at me being responsible, getting my car insurance down from 650, whatever the fuck, to 288. And then I pressed that little finish up on Geico and then it ran my license number. I guess I didn't run it earlier. And they go, actually, that's going to be $950 a month because you have some violations that you didn't pay. And I was like, that's a lie because I looked it up on the DMV. Ain't no violations. Huh? So then I turned. You know that scene in Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, when Rob Schneider's character goes to give Kevin his boxers or whatever, and the first time Kevin tipped him with a piece of gum, and the second time Kevin was like, do you want a tip? And he goes, oh, that won't be necessary, sir. And then Kevin takes out a wad of money, and he goes, no tip? Okay. And then Rob Schneider goes, no, wait. That was me. I called the lady, I called Liberty Mutual back, and I was like, hey, I made a oopsie poopsie. And I canceled the car insurance. Can we undo that real quick? And the guy was like, yes, we can. And they gave me my regular low rate of $657 a month. That's crazy, man. It's so expensive to be a person here.
Have you been in accidents?
No.
Really?
No. And it said in my report that I was.
You know what?
I have never been in an accident where someone was called. Like there have been taps before, but we figure that out independently.
But did your car got impounded, right?
Yeah.
Did it go up after that?
My Liberty Mutual insurance didn't go up.
Interesting.
Yeah. But then I don't know.
New York, that still feels kind of high.
It does feel high. But then I was talking to some other people and it depends on what kind of car it is. But I called the guy and I go, well, I need discounts. Like what? Give me some discounts. And I said, I park it in a garage. Shouldn't that give me a discount? And he said, if the garage is the same address as your residence, it doesn't count. And I go, where is the logic in that?
Yeah,
you fuck. What? It's so hard to control my temper on these calls because these systems are so fucked. And I have it in my head that the systems are so fucked. So that's the place that I come from on these phone calls. That's not a good place to come from because then you're going to be combative. And these people are on the phone all day with people that are probably dipshit doo-doo heads. Okay. So they're not getting the best of people in their work. So I don't want to add to that, but boy, I was pissed. Boy, I was pissed. And then this final thing before I'll get in the fucking, I'm trying to get money out of my beach house that I own with my parents, who I don't speak to anymore because of circumstances that happened. I have been meeting with these finance guys that have been incredible. They're teaching me about money. They're really holding my hand, which I really need. They're lovely. They're so sweet. They came over to my house the other day. We had a big meeting. They gave me a stock plan. They gave me the like a write-up about like, okay, step one, get rid of your debt. Step two, build wealth. Step three, make money in your sleep. And I was like, I love this. This is great. But I own an LLC, the house that I own, that I put my cash into. No mortgage, all cash. It's an LLC. So if anything has to happen, i.e. somebody wanting to take money out against the house, everybody has to sign. Now I thought, surely they will sign. But then I called my brother and I was on Fox News, Jimmy Fallon's Fox News show a couple weeks ago. And I know not to say anything about my parents on there because they watch Fox News. And you know what? Sure. Whatever you want. That's okay. A lot of people watch Fox News that I love. So it's okay. My friend Jimmy Fallon, love him to death. And the slogan of his show is, doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, doesn't matter if you're a Republican, just don't be a dick. And I was like, I love this. And it's the show's just all jokes. God bless you. And I said a joke. We had to prepare some stuff for the panel show. And one of the jokes was, what's the dumbest thing you've ever did? And I said, I bought a house all cash with my parents. And then I stopped talking to them. And everybody in the studio goes, ha, ha, ha. And I was going, ha, ha, ha. My parents didn't watch it. But they did have friends that called them and told them that I was talking about them on Fox News. And didn't you know That didn't sit with them well. And now I don't think they're going to sign. And what a fuck show, huh? What a fuck show. But I'm like, you know what? I'm working on this thing where I take my emotions out. It's very difficult. Dare I say impossible. Where I take my emotions out of the situation and just try to figure out a solution that we can all be happy with. I haven't figured that out yet, but I will.
Did they reach out?
They reached out to my brother the same day I reached out to my brother going, hey, Deej, this is what I'm thinking. What do you think the best method is? And they were like, hey, Deej, your sister's talking about us on television. Could you kindly tell her to fucking stop? And I was like, I don't think they're going to sign that paper.
Oh, but did they say that they're not going to?
No, I didn't ask him yet. I was about to. And then I heard that. They're not. That.
Oh, boy.
That's not good. Because I can totally put myself in their shoes and go, fuck you, you know? But there's also a lot of things that they've done to me where I'm like, fuck you too, you know? But yeah. I don't keep score because that doesn't get you anywhere. And this is what I was thinking before I get into this book. You know, I love the near-death experience interviews on YouTube. Still watch them every day. That's why I'm curious to see if anybody out there has a near-death experience that they'd be interested to share with me at Christina Hutch on Instagram. One of the profound pieces of information that's in almost all of the near-death experience interviews of people who have medically died and come back, they communicate with a loved one who's passed away or a spirit or just a light of energy that they know is a person, they just don't know who. They don't use words, okay? They communicate through, I don't know, telepathy, but it seems like it's something completely beyond telepathy of like, there's no misunderstandings, in other words. And I was telling Colin this morning, I'm like, I wish I could go down to my parents and not use words to communicate and just sit with them and just be in the same room and not use words, but look each other in the eye and give each other hugs. I think that would cure a lot of shit, actually. Words fuck people up. Words start wars. Words are responsible for murder. Words ignite your ego and make you a maniac. Words are fucked, okay? And I really wish that there was a way that I could talk to them without using words, but if anybody's got any tips. Okay. This is the final reading from this book, guys. The Mountain is You, Transforming Self-Sabotage into Self-Mastery. Oh my God, where are we? 37 minutes? All right, let's see if I can do 45. We'll see. Oh, I didn't do Fuckboy Theater.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
I got three great bios.
All right.
Guys.
You ready?
It's time for some Fuckboy Theater. Okay? Fuckboy Theater, assemble all the fuckboys in the world. There's a lot, and I wish that they couldn't talk or type. And I wish that they didn't know how to read or write, so they could just look you in the eye and say stuff, and we wouldn't go, you're a fuckboy, because we would actually get the essence of their being. Okay. Guys, welcome to Fuckboy Theater. Today is bio edition. So these are people's bios. By people, I mean men. These are bios. These are Tinder bios, okay? These were sent to me from lovely women. Here's the Tinder bio of a piece of shit named Marcus, who's 45. That's a grown-ass man. This is his bio. This is what he wants you to know from the get-go. If you want to bust a nut, clap your hands. If you want to bust more nuts, clap again. Thanks. If you like your pussy beat to burst and you joyfully scream and curse, juices flow and squirt, clap your hands. 6'3", firefighter. Okay, that was Marcus's bio.
So he's a first responder.
Yep.
All right.
He did not come save me in the elevator because he lives on the other side of town.
Thank God. Yeah. Huh?
I gotta say, Marcus's abs. Yes, that's why I'm like, stop talking.
Does that cancel out the bio?
No, but just shush, Marcus. You know, you're so hot in the abs. Doesn't even matter what your face looks like when your abs look like that. You know what I mean? I can't see his face. This is a guy named Ben. This is his bio. I'm aggressive, just like my driving. My motto, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. Cool, Ben. All right, now Jake. Jake's 23.
He's 23 years old, little Jake. What do you want us to know in your bio, Jake?
And then it just says star warning in all caps. And then he says, I bet money, legitimately bet real money. Good. I thought he was meaning fake money, that you couldn't handle yourself with me. I make cute babies because my dick's retarded. Shushing emoji. I'll tie you up or choke you. Probably make you tell me you're a slut, too. I don't even want to fuck, though, because you'll be end up attached, and I don't want to be with you. I don't fuck with social media or pictures because I don't like the spotlight. Hit me up at your own risk, though. I'll pull up in a Mercedes, and we'll go do whatever. Jake, why do you have a Mercedes at 23? Why? Is daddy's Mercedes? Ugh.
Jake doesn't like the spotlight.
And then this last guy, his bio, this is actually my favorite one. Swiping and piping, stay on that rock game, stay on that cock game. No condoms, I don't message first.
These are all from the same woman?
No, these are from various women. These are from various women because these gentlemen were across the country. Oh, boy. Is it? And what? What's happening, guys? I know nothing matters, but try harder. Because you can. But you're not, and it hurts us right in our heart hole, okay? Right in our gaping heart hole. It hurts us when you don't try harder, because you can, because you're capable of it, because I believe in you, okay? All right, no more fuckboys. Okay, this is the last chapter of the book, The Mountain Is You by Brianna Wiest, and the next book I'm getting into, oh, if you want to get it, heads up, and I did get the part for my Zoom H6, so I will be doing the bonus readings on my Patreon, not for this book. I got the part. It's The Six Pillars of Self-Esteem by Nathaniel Brandon. That book is the most beautiful piece of writing I've ever encountered on self-esteem, how to get it, how to keep it, what to do when it goes down, what to do when it goes up a little too much. It's amazing. This book is amazing by Nathaniel Brandon. I suggest, you know, if you want to get it, cool. But if you don't, I'll read you the whole thing, okay? It's like a book club, but I read you the book. That's the shit. Because every time someone's like, want to do a book club? I love reading, but I don't want to feel like I have to read it. Do you know what I mean? The second I feel like I have to read it, I'm not touching it. Even if I want to read the book, it's fucked up. Self-sabotage, baby. It's what's for breakfast. Okay, so I'm going to skip around here, but chapter 7 is called From Self-Sabotage to Self-Mastery. And these are just the parts of that I just feel were, oh, fuck me up, Brianna. Moving from self-sabotage to self-mastery sounds like an extraordinary transformation, when in reality, it is a natural course of coming to understand that you are responsible for holding your life back. And so you are responsible. You are also capable of moving it forward. Ooh, punch me in the cunt. How do you know if you're suppressing your emotions or controlling them? Now, that's a great fucking question. Emotional suppression is a regulation strategy that people use when they do not have adequate coping mechanisms for their feelings. The pattern is often this. The person denies or ignores their true reaction to a situation or experience. Believes it will simply go away if they continue to disregard it. But boy, I wish it would. Finds that their day-to-day lives are disrupted by a sense of unease. And then one day, it all comes to a breaking point and they have an emotional outburst they cannot control when they get stuck on the elevator. When someone cuts you off in traffic and you choose not to yell out your window, are you suppressing how you feel or are you controlling it? If your partner says yet another idiotic thing, you got to get a new partner then if that's what you say about them, and you choose not to respond to it, are you suppressing how you feel or are you controlling it? If your coworker aggravates you and consistently nags you about a project and you choose not to say anything, are you suppressing how you feel or are you controlling it? Controlling your emotions involves becoming more conscious of how you feel. You are aware that you are angry, sad, or aggrieved. But you are choosing what to do about it. And there, boys and girls and theys and thems, lies the rub. It is not really that you are not that you are controlling your emotions, but your behavior, okay? When you are suppressing your emotions, you don't know how you feel and your behavior seems out of control. AKA this entire podcast. The answer is that when you're in traffic or in an argument or dealing with a difficult coworker, you should be aware of how you feel, but still in control of how you respond. Ooh, you're a ninja, Brianna. Fuck me up. Take me to dinner. Eat me out. Learning to trust yourself again. Inner peace is the state of being connected to deep internal knowing that everything is okay and always will be. Now, I will say, I have some good inner peace moments in my life. Even when shit hits the fan, even when I was in the elevator, I knew deep down, and it was made available to me, thank God. I'm like, look, you're not going to die. I know you're freaking out because your past and your present are violently having sexual relations, and you don't want that to be happening. Albert Camus once said, in the midst of winter, I found there was within me an invincible summer. That sums up the entirety of what inner peace really is. The understanding that no matter what is happening around you, there is a place of total knowing and calmness within you. And then they talk about the ripple effect, which is great. Just think of a pond or a lake and how the water is completely still. Your thoughts are stones in the pond. But if you eventually just sit still long enough, the water will be slow and completely still. You just not got to not think, but it's going to take a second. You know what I'm saying? Like when you throw a rock into a pond, it's going to have the water's going to be choppy for quite some time. And so you just got to wait it out and then it'll be still again. It's the same thing with your mind, you guys. It's the same thing with your mind. One of the most, this is interesting because she said this at first. I was like, but fuck you. One of the most important parts of discovering your inner peace is that you trade in your desire for happiness. Unfortunately, happiness is fickle. It can lead you to being attached to certain achievements, belongings, or specific circumstances. It can lead you to become dependent on other people's opinions or life unfolding in a particular way. Oopsie poopsie. When your goal is happiness, you will always find just behind it a lingering sense of unhappiness. That's how balance and duality works. Inner peace, however, that's the state in between scales. When it's your goal, there is no way to lose. Think about it. What do you typically imagine will bring you happiness? Money? Mm-hmm. A relationship? Hell yeah. A promotion? You know it. What happens when you achieve those things? Consistently, throughout all of humankind, the answer is the same. You return to your baseline. This is because that kind of happiness is not real. It is only being completely at peace with wherever you are. Ooh, I found a typo. I got so excited. With wherever you are in any given day that you will find a genuine sense of wonder, presence, and joy. So it's all about inner peace, not happiness. Whoopsies. Didn't fucking know that. Why can't people find their inner peace easily? Because they're getting stuck in elevators and their parents aren't signing their paperwork. Everyone has an inner child. It is the part of you that is most innocent and pure, and it never goes away. Over time, it is your responsibility for you to learn how to parent this inner child who will honestly be the one to push you away from your inner peace. This, I think, was very interesting. They will be the one to throw a tantrum and tell you that everything is falling apart and that you're going to die and that you should just give up. What a bummer, huh? Detaching from worrying, guys. In the same way that it's easy to become addicted to substances or behaviors that allow us to avoid the present moment, worrying is chief among the coping mechanisms people use to distract themselves from what really matters. Boy, I know so many people like that. And then you try to give them solutions. You're like, oh, you're worried about something. Okay, let's talk this out. Here's a solution that actually makes a lot of sense. It's pretty logical. And they're like, no, but what if a hurricane happens and a tornado fucks it and I die? And you're like, I don't think you want a solution now, so I'm going to walk away. Your head wants to constantly seek out situations and experiences that will affirm itself. If you believe something will be good, it will be. It might not look exactly how you imagine, but the outcome will be exactly what you expect. Remember, oh, and this is something I've been saying since fucking jump. Remember that your feelings are not always facts, because they're clues, motherfucker. So you get a big ass feeling, take out that treasure map, and go hunting for it, okay? Your feelings aren't here to tell you what's going to happen. They're only here to inform you of where you are energetically and mentally and how you should respond to what happens around you. Fear is trying to scare you into staying small and keeping safe. It is a mortal, limited thing. The feeling of peace is trying to remind you that everything will be okay because it always is and always will be, no matter what, bitch. No matter fucking what, bitch. When you are When you are consistently sidelined from your own anxiety, it's because you don't have a plan regarding the thing that is making you scared. That is so true, dude. Oh, that is so true. Whether it's becoming financially healthy, improving your relationships, going to therapy, getting a new job, or pursuing a new career path or dream, if you don't have a plan, you're going to keep having a problem. Humble yourself because it's not all about you. Now, this is something I think everybody needs to hear. Especially me. In a number of decades, you will be gone. Your home will be sold to a new family, Your job will be taken by someone else. Your kids will be adults. Your work will be done. This isn't supposed to depress you. It's supposed to liberate you. Nobody is thinking about you in the way that you think they are thinking about you. Okay? When you feel anxious about your accomplishments or lack thereof, please know that for the most part, nobody cares and nobody is looking. This is true of absolutely everything in life. Ask for help because you're not supposed to know everything. We live in a specialized society. People go to school, they apprentice and train to become very skilled at one task. Then they market and sell this task in exchange for purchasing other people's expertise. You are not supposed to know everything. This is mostly for me. You're not supposed to be good at everything. That is why you have people whom you can hire to learn from. Cut yourself some slack and focus on what you are proficient in. Outsource everything else. Now, let me see how many more quotes I have. How are we at? Oh, 50. I already fucked it up. That's fine. That's fine. Ooh, this is a good one. Ah, fuck. Okay. There's so much I want to read. Oh, stop trying to assert dominance. Love that. Triggers are not random. They are showing you where you are either most wounded or primed for growth. Ew. But if you said that to me while I was being triggered, I'd say, go fuck yourself. Okay. I don't want to hear that right now. Thank you. Most people severely overthink happiness. Oops. They assume their lives have to be perfect, working in perfect working order for them to experience real joy. This is not so. Real joy is finding happiness where you are and how you are. Regardless of whether or not you are introverted or extroverted, the quality of your relationships, this is so important, determines the quality of your life experiences. Tons of research backs this up. We become most like the people we spend time with, and our happiness is directly correlated with not the quantity of relationships we have, but the quality of each of them. Being lonely is as much of a risk to your health as smoking. Well, I only do one of those things, so hell yeah, good for me, and that's smoking. However, what most people interpret this to mean is that they should just make friends where they can find them and be close to their biological family, even if they dislike them. Not me, not your girl. I said, can't talk to you anymore, mom, dad, but I'm going to cry for a year. And they said, fuck you. That's totally missing the point. Happiness is not contingent upon you forcing relationships you don't want to be in. Dude, if someone fucking told me that when I was 12, my entire life would have been different. I'd probably be a doctor. It is, however, contingent upon you building and fostering relationships with people you really like who add value to your life. When you meet someone with whom you really have a connection, go out of your way to make sure you see this person and keep your friendship healthy. Okay, I want to see if there's any last words. Oh, I love reading the last part of a book. Mastery. This is talking about being the master of yourself. Mastery is to finally understand that the years of discomfort you endured were not some sort of purgatory you just had to get through. They were your deepest inner self informing you that you are capable of more, deserving of better, and meant to transform into the person of your dreams. Oh, love that. Brings tears to my eyes. You must claim it. You must create it. Your own healing process will create an invisible ripple effect on the collective. If we want to change the world, we change ourselves. If we want to change our lives, we change ourselves. If we want to scale the greatest mountains before us, we change how we arrive at the path. When you reach the peak of it all, whatever that may be for you, you will look back and know that every step was worth it. More than anything, you will be overwhelmingly grateful for the pain that led you to begin your journey, because really it wasn't trying to hurt you as much as it was trying to show you that something was wrong. That something was the risk of your potential remaining untapped. Your life spent with the wrong people, doing the wrong things, and wondering why you never felt quite right. Your life is just beginning. Okay? Okay, bitch. One day, the mountain that was in front of you will be so far behind you, it will barely be visible in the distance. But who you become in learning to climb it, that will stay with you forever. As will the scene in American Beauty where Kevin Spacey fingers his daughter's friend in the bathtub. That is the point of the mountain. Guys, we did it. We did it. 53 minutes, 51 seconds. Guys, thank you so much for listening to The Voices in Our Heads. Come to Hooch Thursday, July 25th. And don't take the elevators in my building.
Yes. We're on YouTube now.
Oh, and we're on YouTube. And the full episodes of this podcast are available on Slickback Studios YouTube. That's youtube.com/
Slickback Studios.
Slickback Studios. Yeah. I was going to say that, but I want to make sure I was correct.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can watch this fucking craziness shit show in the flesh and instead of just hearing it.
Obviously, you guys know by now, it's all algorithms, so please leave a comment, interact with the episode on YouTube.
Help me suck that algorithm's dick, baby.
Yeah.
Like it. Smash the subscribe. Smash the like. Write something real fucked up in the comments that is going to get other people commenting, you know? You know when you're like, I can't carry this box, and you're a guy, and the guy's like, I'll carry it. And you're like, haha, I knew that would happen. Trick people into commenting more.
Please.
Who cares?
Okay, now you can rap.
Okay, see ya. Love ya.